Today's reading is taken from Luke 2, beginning at verse 25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sheila, very, very much. Do keep it open. Let me extend my welcome to that of Johnny's. I'm Adam, the minister here. It's lovely to see you. It's warm enough in here, isn't it? It's pretty chilly outside, but it's warm enough. It's good to be together. Let's pray as we begin. As Johnny says, just to pause and reflect on that first Christmas. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you so much for your word, which always by your Spirit speaks to us. And so we thank you for the accounts of that first Christmas. And we pray very much that as we just pause now, take some time out to stop, to reflect, to consider Simeon as he considers Christ. And pray you would stir our hearts by your Spirit to love him more as we wait for his return. And we pray in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. I'm sure lots of us will know the childish song that children sing when they're thoroughly bored. Why are we waiting? We'll know it. There's all sorts of variations on the lyrics, so I won't have to sing them all now. But waiting isn't just boring, is it, as children sing it at school, whatever. It's not just boring or frustrating. Waiting as we grow up can be very worrying, very concerning. It can often sometimes as well be in vain. The thing we're waiting for never arrives. And so as adults, whether we're waiting for a diagnosis that we're worried about, or recovery that we long to come, or maybe a relationship to reconcile, or some security in a job or on the property market, whatever it might be, waiting isn't always just boring. It can be very, very difficult. It can be very hard. And Advent is all about waiting. And not just for the 25th as we count down with the children, often with their calendars, chocolate by chocolate, little window by window. It's not just about waiting for the first coming, but for Christians, waiting for the second coming. And I think that's why Simeon is such a helpful supporting character of the accounts of that first Christmas. Laura said how she discovered Mary's important, but she's got a supporting role. And Simeon here is probably my favourite of the best supporting actors of that first true account. Because Simeon shows us what it looks like to wait and then celebrate Jesus. To wait and then celebrate Jesus. And it's here in this brief account in Luke chapter 2. And Luke sets the scene. We've got Mary and Joseph heading to Jerusalem to do the Jewish custom for newborn baby boys. Jewish readers at the time particularly, no surprises there. And then we, in verse 25, meet Simeon, told he's a godly, very likely older, spirit-filled man, and described as someone who's waiting for the consolation of Israel. The sense is, here's a man who has waited and waited for God to console, to comfort both a world in pain, but especially a people in pain who know how hard it can be to wait. I mean, Israel, God's people, they at this point have trusted God's centuries-old promises for a king, a son of David, who'd rule an eternal kingdom of justice and peace, as we heard from 2 Samuel 7 a few weeks ago. And so Simeon was waiting. And wonderfully for him, he has been assured, hasn't he, that assured by God, he's not going to die before he personally himself sees the promised king that God's people have been waiting for. It's an astonishing wait for an astonishing promise. And Luke wants us clear that this day that Simeon's been waiting for has come. And so we're told, aren't we, that he's nudged by the Holy Spirit, and Simeon heads to the temple courts. And again, that the original Jewish readers at the time will have known exactly what that entailed, but for us, I don't know, picture the crowds in Covent Garden Tube once the theatres close on a Saturday night. Just the throngs of people everywhere. And yet that day, Simeon spots a young couple across the crowd, presumably looking very tired, holding their firstborn child. Once he heard them speak, it was very likely with a very ordinary, even rough Galilean accent. Baby in their arm, about just 6 weeks old. So still floppy in their arms, needing fully cradling, utterly cuddly, and yet utterly helpless. And so nothing about him or his parents that, humanly speaking, across the crowds, he's thought God's king has entered the building. And yet through the Holy Spirit, Simeon sees in that infant God the Son and knows his wait is over. I wonder how you feel when that thing you're waiting for finally comes. Well, that first Christmas, it both assured Simeon and us that the wait for God's promised Saviour King was over. He'd come. And it's so very easy, isn't it, year after year, to be so busy rushing around that we can't pause long enough to simply savor the moment like Simeon. To see Jesus and know the wait is over. And we'll see how he responds in a moment, but it's certainly clear that it's not that he thinks, oh, all my problems are solved and all my dreams have come true. No, his response, as we'll see, is because he knows his wait for this promised king has come. And so, in all the distractions of Christmas, many of them really good and really fun, how might you, how might I, how might we make time, whether alone, whether with loved ones, family, to simply stop and see our Saviour. Simeon waits. And that's why, once he's finished waiting, he celebrates. He really celebrates. We can picture him asking Mary and Joseph, in words not recorded here, please can I hold your son? And this older, very presumably older, grandfather type, takes from this very young, exhausted couple the baby, cradles him, 6 weeks old, as I say. And he can't help but sing. And it's not a nursery rhyme or a lullaby to sort of help the tired couple, perhaps go and find some shut-eye. No, he sings this extraordinary song. We've only got the lyrics now. It's been sung countless times. It's what certain churches often sing as the Nunc Dimittis, because we had to give it a Latin name to make it really memorable. But that's from the first couple of words in Latin. Let me just abridge what he says now. It's verse 29 onwards, if you're following along. He sings, "Lord, you're sovereign. You're in charge. And just as you promised, I can now die in perfect peace." In other words, my bucket list is complete. Why? Because these old failing eyes have seen your salvation. Your plans, your promises to save are found in this baby boy. And wonderfully, you've not simply reserved the revelation of this arrival to me. No, his birth announcement is for all. He is a light of revelation to Jew and non-Jew. All are invited to come and see in Jesus how you reveal and fulfill your glorious rescue plan to save sinners. Simeon waits, and when he sees Jesus, he can't help but celebrate. Not because all his dreams have come true. I'm sure he had countless other humanly oriented plans and wishes, but in Jesus that day, he saw the Savior had come. And so he celebrates, he sings. And so we too sing like Simeon. That's why line after line, our Christmas carols celebrate the wait is over. And as Pete mentioned on Wednesday night at our prayer supper, I've been struck this year again just how good the words of our carols are. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Very often, when you're preparing talks for carol service, you feel this sense of required apology for all the guests about having to mention sin and the need for salvation. And then you realize they've sung about it countless times before you've even stood there. Hopes and fears of all the years met in Jesus that night. We'll shortly sing, "Come thou long expected Jesus," celebrating his promised birth, but anticipating his promised return. So friends, Simeon waits, Simeon celebrates. How are you, how am I going to make time to rightly celebrate the Savior this Christmas? Well, just a time for a second reflection, because I wanted us to just to briefly touch on this fact that we are still waiting for Christ's return. And as Simeon held the infant Jesus and saw in him all that the Holy Spirit had revealed of the fulfillment of promises for the first coming, so it's the grown-up Jesus who tells us how to wait. And he does that later in Luke's Gospel. It's recorded for us in chapter 21. If you're following, it's chapter 21, verse 27 and 28. It's in a part of the Gospel where Jesus is talking quite clearly and plainly in quite apocalyptic language about his return. And then in verse 27, he says these words to his disciples, indeed all to all believers through the ages. Speaking of his return, he says, "At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Again, it's all about revelation. It's all about who will be seen, just as Simeon saw. But it's striking that he says the little three-word phrase, Son of Man, is who will be seen. It's the biblical reference Jesus uses most frequently when describing himself. And it's important here because it speaks so plainly of his return in judgment. That's who they'll see that day he comes. It's a sobering thought. And I don't mean to sort of say, let's just pack away the twinkling lights and take down the tinsel, and nor does Jesus. He says this to assure all believers, yes, that he's coming, but of what it'll be like. Look how he continues, verse 28, he says, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. In other words, he says there is great consolation, great comfort for Christians when Jesus returns to judge. So stand, look, a sense of eager anticipation, for your Redeemer has returned. It's important we're clear what he means by Redeemer. I guess we can think of our W.H. Smith gift card that Granny's given us for Christmas in a couple of weeks' time, assuming it arrives in the post. And you take that gift card, don't you, to the shop, and you can walk up to the cashier with your favourite book or whatever and hand over that card up to its value and know you can walk straight out because it's been paid for. Not by you, but by Granny. You simply redeem the value of the gift card that she's given, she's paid for. And friend, Simeon saw God's salvation that first Christmas, and we see it in payment that first Easter. Jesus on the cross paying to redeem all who'll trust him, and so now wait, standing, looking for his return to redeem us with every confidence. The price has been fully paid. Perfect assurance by his blood. And so, like Simeon celebrating the first coming, we're to celebrate and now wait for the second. And as we've said, of course, waiting can be boring. We'll be tempted to give up. It's wonderfully, as we just sung, the church is here. We have one another. We meet to encourage each other to keep waiting for Jesus. Keep trusting his promises in his word. He's coming again. And you really have been redeemed if you trust him. Don't give up in the boredom or fatigue of the wait. Keep going. It's not just boring, of course. Others will think we're very silly for thinking this or waiting, or they might think far worse. Is it the recent census data that says that less than 50% of Britain identifies as Christian? There's another recent survey actually says that less than 50% of Britain thinks Jesus even existed. So over half the country think we follow a fairy tale. He's a tooth fairy. I don't think I've broken any illusions here. And so as we wait, with that sort of cultural pressure of not just tutting, but scorn increasingly, we can be very tempted to doubt too, whether it's his return or his goodness or his reality. But just as he came the first time, he promises he's coming again to redeem all those who he died for. And so we celebrate this Christmas. He really did come. And now we wait. He really will come again. But also in that three-name title, Son of Man, and just as I close, as we are encouraged to wait standing and looking up, anticipating the Redeemer is here. That three-word title, Son of Man, Jesus returning to judge, means we must surely be thinking of those who simply aren't rightly waiting for him. What Jesus assures as a great day for his followers is a terrible day for those who won't follow. See, friends, it really isn't too late to still invite, where's my flyer, to take one of these flyers, take a photo, WhatsApp it round, those who you would know and love to come to carols, even tonight, and hear of Jesus. Not too late to knock on your neighbor's door and say, it's been so manic, please come. It's tonight. Not too late to send it round the playground WhatsApp groups. Not too late to take a bundle and on the way home from here, just hand it to everyone you see. Nobody's going to say, bog off. Everyone's going to say, thanks very much. It's what you do at Christmas, you invite to carols. And it's no accident that you'll pass those people on your way home with an invite for a carol service in your pocket. Could this be the Christmas where they see Jesus for whom he really is and celebrate? And so join us in rightly waiting for the Son of Man to return and redeem. And so, friends, why are we waiting? It's because Jesus, our Saviour King, came. And he really will come again. So, how will we pause this Christmas? To rightly celebrate and to make sure we lift up our gaze and rightly wait. Let me pray. Simeon says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Amen.